When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Knife Talk. I wouldn't say the only, but certainly the best podcast out there for knife makers. So whether you're a maker, a collector, just some sort of weirdo that's into knives, this is the show for you. Normally joined by Mareko Marmassi and Jeff Fader, but it's only Jeff today of Fader Knives. But because Mareko's on his travels, he seems to be having a good time. So if you're listening, Mareko, we hope you're enjoying yourselves. So then there was two. How are things, Jeff?
I'm tired, man.
snap. Yeah.
I am so tired. I'm so tired, but I feel invigorated and I'm ready for the next milestone, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's good. Busy. I finally installed this sculpture that was 4 years in the making, and it looks great. And speaking of Mareko, last week I was talking about, like, we're going to install it. And this project was really about time management with me. Is how can I work backwards to make sure I have enough time to paint, enough time to make it look good, and enough time. And I budgeted my time exactly, so I had enough time. And Mareko says, do you think there's going to be an unveiling? And I'm like, no, there's not going to be an unveiling. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm just going to drop it off, and that's the end of it. This is one thing about me and my sisters and my dad, is when it comes to opening art openings, where we don't like them.
Not
so we
thing.
Just make the stuff, drop them off with the curator, and fuck away off.
But I did see the picture of your sculpture draped in some sort of big curtain or something, ready for a big grand unveiling. So what went on?
Well, what's went on is, obviously, after Mareko says, is there going to be an unveiling? And I said, I certainly hope not. And I got the call. There's going to be an unveiling. So we installed it yesterday, which today is Thursday, so we installed it Wednesday. And I hate installing everything, anything. It's just always nothing but problems. But the place looks great. They made this area with wildflowers and chains to block people off and this big thing. And they did a really nice job. And then all of a sudden I heard, all right, well, the local news is going to be there. So,
jeez.
So we're installing. So I'm thinking to myself after last week, I'm like, I hope there's not an unveiling. And I get a message, oh, yeah, we're going to have an event. And you're going to be there with the mayor and the police department. Geez. And it's a whole big production. And the guy says, I need you to come, you know, have a little speech about the sculpture, for fuck's sake. So we install yesterday, and they were like, we want to cover it up so no one sees it. And the funny thing was, we were installing it, I was wearing one of my favorite shirts was made by Chris Zeppieri of Make Everything Shop. And in the back of it says, Don't die.
Yeah, another one.
So I'm wearing this shirt. I'm installing this fucking thing. And then these passerbys are walking. And I wonder what that is. And then I hear, he's wearing a shirt that says, Don't die. And then the tongue clicking starts. As in, like, it's like some sort of, like, message. Like, you know. And I hear, oh, he's wearing a shirt that says, Don't die. What do you think that means? He doesn't want us to die, I guess. Or maybe he does.
He's a daredevil. He's going to do a big stunt or something.
Yeah. Right. And then, so I had to write this speech last night. But in the meantime, I had a doctor's appointment. Now I'm old and I'm getting ready for glaucoma. So they dilated my eyes. I was supposed to write a speech last night. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So that's that. And we're getting ready to, I got to write a speech tonight for this sculpture. And
so when is that? When is the big grand unveiling?
Saturday night. So when this posts, it's interesting because you and I have talked about this. I mean, I don't know. I might have even started this sculpture before I was on Knife Talk.
Really? Oh, wow.
This is a weird thing. And it's like, it's slightly controversial. And I'm going to kind of go into depth on it with Leah Arapach. We're going to do an Art Talk episode of Knife of Full Blast. Mm. Because I was, and I'll give you the, if you want to hear, the backstory is the police department in the town was talking to one of my biggest customers and donors, who said that they're trying to do a gun buyback program. But the hard part is they don't get a lot of money from the state, obviously, in the city. So usually they rely on people to fundraise. Yeah. So my friend, who is very gung-ho, and I've known this guy for 25 years, I've been making sculpture for 25 years, says, I got a great idea. We'll raise the money, and then we will I'll see if I can get Fader to weld something up. So he reached out to me, and he goes, Jeff, I have the, and he tells me the whole thing, and we want, you know, we're going to raise all this money. We're going to have the local beer company make a beer. We're going to have a big event, and we're going to get these. We're going to buy back guns that are unwanted. Yeah. Now, gun buyback. Here's what a gun buyback is. The police department will set up an area, and then they'll say, no questions asked. If you have anything in your house that you don't want. They're not mandating it. They're not saying, here's your chance. They're saying, if you have something in your house that you don't want or you don't feel comfortable with, it's not secure, whatever reason, no questions asked, bring them here, and we'll give you some money.
So this would be even unlicensed stuff as well, then, I assume?
No questions asked.
Right, okay.
So it's basically like people who want to dispose of these guns, to hand them in.
Yeah.
And we'll give you money, no questions asked. We're not going to, you know. So it was a huge turnout, and we raised $15,000.
Wow.
And they ended up collecting 187 guns.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot.
That's
a lot.
Yes. Wow. That's very good.
And then, so bring me into it, at first, I was hesitant. Because I don't do political art. Mm. I don't like it. I don't want to. My job is, in my opinion, is I don't want to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going
to social
peacock.
Just to put people straight, if they don't know you, you're using these guns then in the sculpture.
Well, I'm getting to it.
Okay.
So,
sorry. Yes. Okay.
So I don't like doing political art. I never have. I find most artists to be repulsive. I think that I'm not holier than thou. I'm not self-righteous. But in my heart of hearts, my guy says to me, he's like, hey, you think you could do this for me? Mm. And I'm like, yes, on one condition. I want no city, state money for this thing. I'd rather do it for you as a favor for free than to take one nickel of taxpayer money, because it's just like, I'm not a huge fan of public art anyway, but at the same time, I'm just like, I'm not going to fucking... I don't want to take public funds for this thing.
Yeah, especially if they've been fundraising for. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So at first it was like for the first, you know, all of a sudden I'm just like, all right, I'm going to just do this on the arm because I wanted the guns. I was going to get that's honestly. So what happens is with these gun buyback programs is they get the department, they seize the guns and they'll take a picture of the gun. The police take a picture. They'll have the Department of Public Works cut the gun up to make it inoperable, and then they'll take another picture, and then it's scrap.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do with it all, but so they did that, and I even said, I don't want police here. I don't want to take any money from, you know, I don't want like having a police officer here while I dispose of it. Whatever it takes, just so I got a call from this officer I've been working with, and I you have no idea what I had in this shop. I mean, it's like, and they were all disposed of by the Department of Public Works. They were scrap metal that you couldn't do anything with.
Right. Them. Were they still recognizable as guns?
Yes.
Okay.
But they'll take the torch and they'll cut it through the trigger or cut it through the barrel or cut it through the hammer or whatever.
Yeah.
You have no idea what I got. So at first, and that was 4 years ago, I was like, okay, I'm just going to put one in the forge and then, you know, forge it up.
See what happens.
And I actually, you can see in some of my videos, I actually have a forged revolver that I welded to my forge, which looks great, by the way. Yes, looks fucking awesome. A flattened gun. So I forged something out as a sample for this event, and then I started posting thinking, okay, the police are involved. The guy who's involved in doing it is the biggest Second Amendment guy I ever met. This guy is armed to the teeth all the time. I was surprised. I thought, we're not doing anything wrong. We're not doing anything. You have no idea the messages I got. What's going on here? You must be some liberal. And it was really one of those things where it was just like, I got messages from, name the five, don't name it out loud, but if you name five of the most well-known knife YouTubers out there. One of them reached out to me.
Really?
Like, it's a shame that you're doing this.
Wow.
But at the same time, like, I don't blame. So I would talk to somebody. Here's what's going on. And so, you know, you should see some of these guns. One of them in the maker, somebody went to a plasma cutter, a guy with a CNC plasma cutter, and had zip guns made. You know what a zip gun is?
No, no.
They'll take a, they'll do an outline of a gun, cut it out on some quarter, you know, 3/16 plate with a plasma cutter, and then they'll weld a barrel to it. So you can put one bullet in, and then, I don't know, they figure out how to put something on there to make it shoot the bullet.
Oh, Jesus
so it's
Christ.
Like a, it's like a really illegal gun. I mean, it's like
handmade. You know,
homemade. And it isn't for like target practice. This is for like, you know, robbing a liquor store. Yeah. So I was surprised at how I figured I, you know, so I just kept my mouth shut for, I just decided, I'm like, I don't need this.
It's a divisive thing. Yeah, I get you.
I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. I believe in it. But at the same time, it's like, I also wanted to make something regardless. Okay. So now COVID hits. I'm like, okay, let's just pretend like I don't have to do this anymore. Because I wasn't getting, you know, I was just like, I already said I'm not getting paid. So, whatever. I said I was going to do it for free. I said I was going to do it, I'll do it. They came back and they had an art organization say, we're going to commission you to do this. So, art organization commissioned me to do it. And then they said, this is the deadline we need. So, I really had to work with the footings and blah, 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 blah. And I made this sculpture. You can see it on my Instagram. Yeah. I think it looks great. And it was very much a blacksmithing situation. It was the second one. I know I'm going on and on and on, but I'll just give you the backstories real quick. And the first one I made, I hated. I basically just welded a lot of guns together, and it looked like shit. and I hated looking at it. I hated everything about it, whatever, blah, blah. So then this one, I took all the barrels off, and I put a KISS block on my power hammer, and I forged all the barrels into one size. And then I forged all those pieces out. I didn't have a torch, so I forged all the pieces out and I made this ribbon. And it looks great. And the amazing thing is it doesn't look, you can't, it's only recognizable as gun parts if you really look and know.
Right, okay.
So it's this whole idea of, you know, transformation and blah, 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 blah. And I'm tired of it, be honest with you. And I'm glad it's over.
So come Saturday, it's out of your life. It's done.
Well, it was out of my life on Wednesday, but now all of a sudden there's like, you know, I have to do some sort of, I don't know if it's a press junket, but I have to do some sort of like, I had to do a couple things. So I'm really kind of loath to do it all. I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested anymore. I did it because I said I'd do it. And I do have a lot of parts that I want to make little sculpture with, but like I'm done making big sculpture. Mm-hmm. I can't, I'm tired of making big sculpture. I'm too old.
Are they putting any sort of plaque there to tell people what it is and who made it and so on?
So, great question. I told them, so after 2 years, I'm thinking, let's not make something gruesome. Mm. Let's make something, you know, the idea of the ribbon is, you know, when you see people have on their lapel of their jacket a ribbon, there's so many different color ribbons. You know, you don't know necessarily know what it's for. Is it for AIDS or for, you know, this
support
or that,
for something? Yes.
Support. Yeah. So I thought that that would be something not pro. Police, not pro this, not pro. It was a very vanilla kind of just a reminder. Mm. And then what I did was, because it's by the river, I decided I wanted to look like it was, the wind was blowing it a little bit. So there we go with that. So what I said for a long time is, let's say it's guns at all. Let's just let people walk past. Because the other thing is when you start to refer to it as the gun sculpture, you're loading the viewer up with already their preconceived notion. Yeah, so if you got to see, it would be like telling the spoiler of a movie in the beginning. Why not have people just look at it and make a decision and then look into it deeper and then make, oh, that's weird. I didn't recognize any of it as being guns. So that's the story. So there will be a plaque, much to my chagrin, and the people who are involved want to have a big whole gun buyback program thing, and much to my chagrin, and I just want to fade off into the distance. And I did talk to a lot of friends of ours who are giant Second Amendment guys, big gun guys, and who are into it. And they're into it, and it wasn't supposed to be controversial. It wasn't supposed to be pro-gun, anti-gun, pro-violence, Black Lives Matter, none of any of that.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a thing, you know, and we'll see. So. The letter bombs have already started.
Really?
So the threats have already started.
So you're going to be named on the sculpture, so people will see that you've made it. So you'll see.
Oh, boy.
Over the next few weeks, you'll see what people think.
Unfortunately, we're in this world now where people instead of, and the whole thing is, it's also meant to be, you know, forging, the idea of forging steel is you're taking an object, heating it up, and changing and transforming the mass and volume.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a way to think, maybe we have these problems in the world and maybe we can look at things from a different standpoint. Maybe we can figure out a different way to kind of address these issues. That's not what normally people just say the same thing that they've heard other people say. Yeah. And there's not a lot of nuance to their thinking and there's not a lot of, and I'll get the same horse shit that I get from people who hear cool words to say in front of other people, you know, so that's the story. That's what I've been dealing with. It's Craig Lockwood. Craig Lockwood, baby.
Thank you very much. So, yeah, it sounds as if, yeah, you've had a week and you've still got Saturday to go. But your speech is done, ready to go?
No. I have to do basically what I did for you just now, but I got to make it sound like it's not stupid. I mean, I was going to do off the cuff, but it's like the police chief's going to be there. And I got to like, these things also, it's not like a podcast where you can kind of be off the cuff. It has to be... I want to thank this guy, and I want to thank that guy, I want to thank this guy, I want to thank that guy. Meanwhile, I need to rattle a couple cages because there's a payment that hasn't been made, and I'm throwing myself around a little bit with the art institution that I'm supposed to. I'm gonna fucking rattle their cage. Nice. Like, they don't know what they got coming next, baby.
Nice.
So yeah, so that's what's going on.
Cool.
Never ending, my man. And I thought after all this time that once this was over, this was like I can cross it off and I don't have to do anything else. I didn't feel relaxed. I didn't feel satisfied. I didn't feel like a job well done. Mm-hmm. I felt like
just get it over and done with. Yeah. So Jesus. What's the next big project then? So if you've got a new knife range coming out,
we're working on David over Tiger Claw Customs has been working with me, and we're working on finishing off the butcher knives. I'm gonna have 20 butcher knives, and we're not really advertising them for pre-sale. I'm trying to get ahead and like have stuff available. Like I have a couple offsets serrated, we've just been keeping quiet, and I have some forks keeping quiet, and I'm going to have these butcher knives keep quiet. And then, you know, we're getting to the point now where we'll be able to have something. Oh, and then we're doing the oyster knives. And you'll be happy to know. Tony's coming down next week. And we're going to do an oyster shucking demo. And then we're going to cook the oysters that you like.
Oh, nice.
But we're going to cook them with the forge.
Nice.
So we're going to do, we're actually going to use the even heat. If you want to put the even heat in, we're going to even heat plate. And we're going to heat the even heat plate up. I put my plate I had made with it, and we heat up with the even heat, and I'm gonna blow the doors off.
Nice.
Make some fucking charbroiled oysters.
So if you want some nice oysters.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Even Heat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
There we go.
There you go.
And you know, you can get them in stock now at Soul Ceramic. So if you go to knifetalk.net/heat, that'll take you to Soul Ceramics, who are a distributor of Even Heats. They've got lots in stock, all the different models, and you'll get $70 off, I believe, and free shipping in the US. So why wouldn't you? knifetalk.net/heat. The link is in the description.
They were down at Blade Show, and my man Spence was wearing a Fader Knives hat. They were doing some biz down at Blade Show.
Nice.
Everything, I heard a lot of excellent things down at Blade Show. The biggest Journeyman Smith class. Congratulations to all them. Master Smith class. Smith class, they've hauled ass.
So people who may have listened last week, we had Will Stelter on the show, and he was worried the night before, you know, how are things going to go? But it was all good news. We knew it would
be. He thought I jinxed him.
Did it really?
Right? Yeah, he said, I said something on Full Blast. I said, he's going to be flailing to the end. And then, you know, he called me up. He's like, you know what? I didn't think you were going to meet. All of a sudden, I did flail at the end. I had a thing happen. But yeah, he did good.
Very happy for him. That's cool.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
You were in London.
Yes.
I want to hear about your trip to London, especially walking across the Abbey Road street.
Yes. So I've had a bit of a week. So I was in London I flew in on Friday. The whole purpose was to go to a gig. So I went to this gig 26 years ago. I went to an Oasis gig at Knebworth Park, which is this huge, huge place. And at the time, it was the biggest outdoor gig ever. There's 250,000 people there.
Wow.
Massive. You know, miles of people, you know, watching.
Oh, my God.
And you know, a huge Oasis fan at the time and so on. But anyway, one of their singers, Liam Gallagher, who's now solo, he was going back and doing it again 26 years later. And again, they sold out that amount of people. And he was like, well, I've got to go. It was 26 years ago. You know, it was a big part of, you know, my sort of, well, I think I was 19 when I went. You know, it was a big part of that. I'm going to go back for that and sort of relive it. So went to that gig. Then I was in London for another sort of 2 days. So I was like, well, what am I going to do? So we did. I did the Abbey Road tour, you know, the studios and right. so on. But then I was speaking to a producer that I know. Another podcast that I'd done a while back. He actually produced one of the Oasis albums, What's the Story, Morning Glory, which was their sort of big, big album.
Great episode, by the way. I really, really, really enjoyed that episode.
Thank you, yeah. And we've been chatting, you know, over time and stuff. And he knows I'm in a band and, you know, I wrote these little songs and so on. So he just said, oh, send me any of your demos. So I did. I sent him 2 demos. And he was like, these are fucking great. We need to record these. And I'm like, yeah, maybe one day, you know, kind of thing. He's like, no, let's get in the studio and record it. So we booked for October to go to Rockfield Studios, which are like legendary studios. Bohemian Rhapsody was recorded there, and all the Oasis stuff and Stone Roses, all the kind of stuff I was really into. It was all recorded there. And they've still got all the original equipment. So, you know, the piano that they did Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, the intro, that's still there. And I can use that. And there's all these like famous mics and stuff that people are singing into. And it's all there. So, yeah, so I'm going in October to record 2 songs. And I cannot wait. So all that has happened sort of over the last week. This has all been confirmed. So I'm like, it's been very exciting. And we had like band rehearsal today, and we got 2 gigs over the weekend now. And one of them's like quite a big thing. We're supporting a Doors tribute band, but they travel the world. You know, they're quite a big band in their own right. And we're supporting them. So it's been a rock and roll week, shall we say. So I've had one day in the shop when I got back. I'm doing some steak knives with hemp handles. I think I talked about the hemp handles a while back.
Yeah.
Finally getting to use it on a proper set. So that's cool. So yeah, it's just been a crazy, crazy busy week. Got back from London on, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. Tuesday, because Thursday today. And yeah, it's just been busy, 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 you know? It's all good.
For the recording, is it going to be the band Uplift or just Craig Lockwood?
Just me.
Whoa.
Yeah. They're not the kind of things that the band, you know, that we do. So these are songs that I've written. It's going to be real fun. And I'll tell you off air that there's a whole plan behind all this as well, but I'll tell you off air about that because
special. Maybe we should start a Patreon page right now.
Maybe in the after show.
An after show.
Yeah.
We pay, charge people like everybody else, like every other podcast. I'm just kidding.
It's cool. It's like it's a bit of a boyhood dream, you know. I've always had this dream, I'm just going to the studio, and you know. But you know, it's a residential place, so I'll be staying there, and I'll be sleeping in the same place that all these like mega stars had slept in, and you know, half of the songs were written there as well, and you know. So, you know, I'm using, you know, the actual guitar that they recorded Wonderwall on. I'll be using that.
That's crazy.
I'll be using the piano that they did Bohemian Rhapsody on, and you know the mics that Freddie was singing into, and it's just a bit mind blowing. You know, this place is just full of history, so I cannot wait. So,
did they film the Queen movie there?
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen the Queen movie.
Oh, you haven't seen it? It's a great movie.
Really,
the Queen movie. I don't remember the name of it.
Is that the one with the guy with the teeth who plays Freddy?
Yeah, the guy with the teeth who plays Freddy.
I think I have seen it. Yeah, I don't know whether it was filmed there. I don't know actually.
It was like a farmhouse.
It's an old farm. Yeah, that's what Rockfield is. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if it was the same place. Would. Are you going to be intimidated to go there?
Like
the day of? Are you going to see? I sleep the night before.
Yeah, well, I'm sleeping there for the two nights. Yeah. It feels to me as if it's October. But it feels to me as if it's a long way off. So, you know, I'm sort of demoing the songs now and getting them up to scratch, because 2 days in the studio isn't actually that long for two songs, particularly because I'm playing all the instruments too. So, you know, none of it's going to be sort of recorded live as a band, which is quite quick to do. This is, you know, me going in, doing a track, overdubbing the next track, overdubbing, for the two songs. So I'm demoing everything beforehand. So when I get there, I know exactly all my parts that I need to play. Yeah, it is intimidating, but it's a boyhood dream. And like I said to Nick, the producer guy, I said, you know, I'm 45 with a belly. I know this isn't going to go anywhere. This is literally just living out a dream. And he's like, no, it's going to be cool. So yeah, it's going to be good.
Do you have to think about the clothes you're going to wear?
I will.
I mean, come on, let's just cut the shit. I mean, because I'm thinking, I got to be comfortable. But I got to look cool.
Exactly. Because I want to document it as much as possible as well. Right. Because I said, this is a boyhood dream of mine. Yeah. You know? And to be honest, even when we're doing like local gigs around here, I take a lot of time, you know, working out what I'm going to wear and stuff. So, yeah. No, it's all part of it, isn't it? It's all part of it, you know?
I need special underwear. I have these, I order these Patagonia underwear that are so soft. Then I'm just like, I know I have to wear those.
It's tickling your balls as you walk.
I just need to be comfortable, and maybe I need to wear these kinds of pants. The shirt, what if I have sweat stains? Ugh. Oh, God.
You've got to be comfortable. You don't want anything sort of, you know, abrasive next to you.
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
Do it now. That's the way. Right. Enough about us. Shall we answer some of our lovely listeners' questions?
We can do whatever your heart's desire. Your heart's desire.
Let's start with a few questions. Where are we? Do you want to take the first one?
Yes, sir. Ronald Knives. Our friend Ronald Knives back. He says, I have a question. What would you all make aside from knives? What would you all want to make for fun? Even as a one-off. To add a twist of, you know what you should do, I think Craig should make himself a guitar. I've just started a couple and it's so much fun. Let's not talk about ourselves. Let's talk about ourselves.
Exactly.
So, Ronald wants to know what we'd make if we were making knives.
And it says just
non-knife talk.
Just for fun as well, because I'm making something now which isn't a knife, but it's sort of related. It's going to be a product. But, you know, I suppose that's not for fun. That's business, I suppose. Fun for one-off. I suppose a guitar would be cool, but, you know, it's going to be shit. It's never going to be as good as
course.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to make sweet music, man.
Aw, girl, look at you. Look at you, Oasis Jr. I love it. I love it. Liam Gallagher Jr. You sent me a picture. He's like, this is the greatest rock band. This is the greatest front man of all time. And I'm just like, that doesn't look like David Lee Roth.
You were showing your age there, definitely. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. I know. I'm such a jerk.
So what do you reckon? You can make one thing for fun.
You know what's interesting about knife talk in general, it's like I've said this before, is a lot of times in a lot of knife podcasts deal with the business end of knife making, and it almost sucks the joy out of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like I still want to like push for us to do a show where we don't really talk about doing things for money, you know, doing things because it'll lead to money, just to do something for the sheer joy.
Yeah.
And when I went to my college reunion and I spent some time with my college professor and I looked at some of his sculptures, sculpture looks so much fun. And it was just like bright colors, and they were in his house, and they were just like, they weren't for a gallery. They weren't for this. They were just like, he just felt like making something. I love doing that. And it made me want to get back into making sculpture. And this giant fucking sculpture did not make me want to get back into sculpture, even though I feel like I did a good job. I want to make lures again. I want to make small sculpture, intimate sculpture. I'm looking forward to that. Those days are very fun. One thing about this last sculpture that was a lot of fun is a lot of people, when they make sculpture, everything's very predetermined, and there's not a lot of the ability to be spontaneous. But when I make sculpture, in order for me to enjoy it, I want there to be spontaneity. I don't want it to be like, it's got to look just like this drawing. I hate that.
You had set parameters, didn't you? You had a certain material you had to use. You knew where it was going to be. and what it, you know, maybe represent as well. I suppose you had these parameters you had to adhere to.
Well, not really. I could have done anything.
Oh, okay.
And it
okay.
was really like, this was this particular one was really about being thoughtful in regards to how we're going to get across. Mm. The other thing is my ceilings aren't that tall. So, like, I had to keep it under, you know, I had to keep it around 9 feet tall. I had to, and I don't have a tile, I don't have a chain hoist. I had to be able to move it myself. And, you know, David helped me a little bit and here and there, but, you know, I had to be able to move it. And then we had to figure out the footings. And so once we figured out where the footings were, I was married to this particular footprint. So it, but I was able to be spontaneous in the construction of it, which I loved. And that's what I like about sculpture. I don't want to make CNC sculpture. I don't want to make stuff that's like, you know, it has to be, I want to enjoy the process. And so for me, making sculptures, for me, my favorite sculpture to make is oxyacetylene gas welding. I make these little birds out of, and it's the closest thing to drawing in sculpture that you can do, because your little torch with a tip is can bend, it can cut, it can weld like a pencil. So I've been doing it for so long that I can really kind of work fast, give me a pile of eighth inch rod, and I can just kind of move quick. So I have a giant sculpture that my wife wants me to finish. It's this like 300-pound sparrow. And she wants me to drag it to the shop and work on it some more. So I'll maybe do that. But I could definitely get behind making some sculpture again.
Nice.
That would be fun.
Nice.
Or a guitar. I mean, I can't play it, but give it a whirl.
Yeah, something with a function maybe that you can, you know, do something with. That's always cool. But
shout out to, speaking of which, you should, I don't know if you follow Keith Decent.
Yes,
Keith Decent,
I do, yeah.
He made some guitars. And the cool thing is about the handmade guitars he made is, if you look at the progression from the first one to the last one, it's really, really cool.
Mm.
He's just made these electric guitars, and it was really kind of cool watching him make them. So.
I have thought about, I mean, you can buy like kits, you know, where it's basically, you know, a body and you shape it and then you get the neck, which is already pre-done and stuff. And that's how I got into knives, really, you know, getting a few kits and, you know, putting handles on blades that already existed. So I'd imagine it would be almost, you know, like a drug. You know, once you make one, you say, oh, next time I'm going to make that bit myself. And next bit, and before you know it, you know, you're balls deep and you're making guitars for a living. So, yeah, it's probably best I don't start, maybe.
Speaking of which, balls deep, Ben Ueda, I mean, not balls deep with him, but Ben Ueda, he took all these, like, plastic bottles and melted them in an oven and poured it into a mold and made a guitar out of, like, melted plastic bottles.
That. Yes, yeah.
Can you imagine the smell in that house?
Oh,
oh my God.
It would stink, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's poor Jessie's. That's the reason why she is the way she is. She had to live next to the kitchen with the melted plastic bottles. That's why she's now talking to squirrels.
That's what attracts the squirrels, yeah.
Yeah. Good old Jess Ueda. Love you. I, Jessup, we're with you. She's a big listener.
Cool. The next one is from Rogue Forge Blades. Love the show. Question about what your opinion is on having the title of journeyman or master bladesmith. Is it really something worth working towards and getting, or are you putting, if you are already putting out good quality work, can you just let your work speak for itself? Would having the title mean that much or add value to your work when you're selling to the average person that probably doesn't even know what the title is about? Thank you.
Good question.
Yeah.
What
I mean, we sort of mentioned this with Will last week, didn't we? We said, you know, once you get, I mean, Will was going for his journeyman last week, which he did have, we sort of indicated that his prices will, you know, go up. And he said, yeah, of course they will, of course. And, you know, this part of the question saying, you know, will it add value? Will people even know the average person? The thing is, there's so many collectors and that kind of thing out there that they do know about journeymans and they do know about master bladesmiths, and they want your work and they're the ones that are willing to pay a premium for it. So yeah, it certainly will add value to your work. But my thinking about it is, I mean, we over here in Europe, we don't have this anyway, this sort of leveling of things. But my thinking is, it's the journey, surely, to it. You know, you're having to get better to get to these levels. And each time, you know, we always talk about these, you know, these incremental changes to make yourself better and better and better. It's the journey of getting this certification. I think that's the value. Yeah, that's, you know, but yeah, it's, you can certainly add value to your work, you know, financial value to your work, because there's people out there who will specifically want your work because you are at a certain level.
A couple things. Number one is when Will mentioned that his price is going to go up for that set, he could say, I mean, like, if I, just because, I mean, you, if you're making that particular set, what he said was, it is a milestone in his career.
Yeah.
So they're special in regards to the value in terms of Will Stelter as a bladesmith. You know, there, I think it's interesting because I know that there are a lot of people who say, well, should I do it because I'll make more money? Or there's a lot, you know, just because you're Journeyman Smith, you can still make the same shitty knives you were making before you were Journeyman Smith. You know, it's like there's a level of detail that's different. My personal opinion is, and I got like hounded by Matt Stagmer about whether I've been a member for a long time, and then I'll lapse, and then I'll do it again, and I'll lapse, I'll do it again. I believe in the American Bladesman Society. Number two is, you could be a member, Craig. You know, because I know that there's, I know that a number of our listeners from, I know that our Dutch friend, Mr. Markman, Eric Markman, is a journeyman smith.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's in the Netherlands. So, and then Niels Vander, Black Dragon Forge, and he's from South Africa, just became a master bladesmith. So,
oh, wow.
It's an international, it's a totally, and I know that they're master bladesmiths from France and from, it's an international organization, really. So okay. It's... I back to what we were talking about in terms of like the enjoyment factor. I believe in the like exactly what you said in the journey. I think that to have like a project, even if you're in college or something like that, you have an assignment and you have to meet that assignment and excel in it. I think that there's something about that journey to get there that's really, really rich and important. That I love, you know, that idea. And regardless of whether or not, yeah, you can, you don't have to do, it doesn't mean you're less valuable, but I think it's a personal journey. It's a personal journey in regards to how you see yourself as a craftsperson, and can you meet the level of expectation of the American Bladesmith Society? And I think that it's very validating. I think that even if you aren't a bladesmith, I think you should join the ABS because this is big time now. They're one of the biggest organizations in the world, and they're growing. So I'm 100% on board with the idea of doing it as personal growth.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Lots of people were at Blade last week, and Lawrence was there for Maritime Knife Supply. Great guy. They are a Canadian distributor of things like combat abrasives and Rhino-Et and all the kind of stuff that we say are great things because we use them ourselves. They sell it all there, maritimeknifesupply.com. Steel, belts, handle materials, tools, forges, kilns, the lot. Go take a look. They've always got special offers on belts if you buy a certain amount as well. So maritimeknifesupply.com, based in Canada, but even if you're in the US, you can make a saving by, you know, getting it shipped into you. So yeah, go take a look. maritimeknifesupply.com and also Maritime Knife Supply on Instagram.
Okay. Last thing about Blade Show, maybe not the last thing. Congratulations to everybody who went down there and who tested, regardless of however it went. Our hats are off to you because you put your neck out on the line, and it's not easy. And I'm gonna have Will, Matt Stagmer, and James Fleming all on at full blast. We're gonna talk about how nervous. Cause I was talking to all of them in the morning. I'm having them all on the next episode. We're gonna have a live episode of Full Blast. Well, a new episode of Full Blast. I'm gonna have all three of them on at the same time. I want to know how nervous they all were, because I was texting with Will at like 6 o'clock in the morning the day of, and he was like, you know, cleaning the lint off and stuff like that. But the last thing is one of the things I just want to perpetuate the myth of Nicholas Rossi. Nick Rossi is the wraith of, he is the biggest gangster. Everybody was in my DMs. I'm slaving away on the sculpture, and my phone's blowing up because I'm getting these messages. Did you know what Nick Rossi did? Nick Rossi, journeyman smith, I've said one of the best knife bladesmith teachers in the United States for sure. He's incredibly a wealth of knowledge and a great guy and just a, you know, talented. Motherfucker didn't say a word. Did his master bladesmith knives.
Wow.
Showed up, didn't say a word, didn't say he was working on it, nobody knew a fucking thing. Showed up to Atlanta, didn't say hello to anybody, went to some people. Went to the testing room, slapped down his master bladesmiths, got judged, past the master bladesmith and fucked away off.
That's
like
the
a
way
fucking
to do it.
Phantom. The coolest. Everyone was saying to me, "What a fucking gangster! Did you hear what Rick Rossi did?" There was no like preamble, and you know, documenting the build, and I wonder if it's gonna happen or not. He didn't create a television show around it. He was a fucking ninja assassin gangster motherfucker, Nick Rossi. My hat's off to you. I always had a ton of respect for Nick, but now it's just like. I mean, that's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it, definitely, yes.
No, don't tell a fucking word. Have everyone blown away. And then he wouldn't... Nick Rossi, master bladesmith. I can't think of a better person to do it than Nick. Nick's the man.
Nice.
So, back to that. We have unsolicited advice. We have tough scenarios. We have lots of listener feedback.
Let's do listener feedback.
Okay, great.
Because I'm pretty sure I know what a lot of it will be about from last week's show.
Well, last week's show we got a lot of responses from last week's show.
Yeah.
In the after show we read some news about it. We had a story about a guy had a dick growing out of the side of his arm, and Craig and I were like a bunch of fucking giggling fools. So Christopher Chevalier says, "Holy shit! Ha ha! Listening to you guys." Laughing, talking about this dude dick falling out of his sleeve was priceless. Had a that good laugh.
That was the best line. He was shopping and his dick fell out of his sleeve.
Yeah, that was good. Paying for the groceries and flomp. Had a good laugh in the shop on that one, the poor fella. And then J.D. Eiler says, "What the hell am I supposed to tell my parents when they're asking why I'm hacking up a lung from laughter on our road trip? This man's got a dick on his arm. Come on." In all seriousness, absolutely hilarious. Great episode, guys. So... That was unexpected, but wonderful.
Yeah.
Leonardo Lee, who a number of weeks ago was talking about galvanized cable, did a follow-up. We had a number of people giving unsolicited advice to him in regards to galvanized and zinc poisoning.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Leonardo's responding to the listeners responding to him. So this is like very meta. I've got some listener feedback, which includes feedback about the listeners. "I know zinc poisoning is bad for you. That's why I'm asking you how to get rid of it." So shout out to Leonardo Lee. He's, I think the final answer is throw in the garbage. I think that was...
It's probably, yeah. Well, as you would
say, scrapyard,
the juice isn't worth the squeeze, yeah.
Yeah, whatever he said. And then the last one is from Corey Phillips, listening to the new episode, and I wanted to give some listener feedback. We were talking about... Somebody asked about chisel grind knives. And we were talking about the Debba. We were talking about chisel grind.
Yes,
you know what we're talking about?
Yes,
The short Debba that Jeff mentioned is called a Funayuki, which translates to going on a boat. And as a traditional fisherman's knife in Japan, although it's traditionally a single beveled knife, some makers today make it thick with a double beveled design. Or it's just a knife shape that's ground thin like a chef's knife. Hope that helps. Thanks, Corey. So,
Well, Corey's actually got a question as well. So I was looking through the questions then. We might as well do this. It's probably a good
time
for him.
Double time, Corey.
Corey Phillips. And what he did like everybody else. He DM'd us on Instagram at Knife Talk Podcast. And this is a question. "I recently bought a 1x30 belt sander and I began practicing grinding on some beater knives. Any tips or resources for learning how to grind properly? How about recommend belts or gear?" There's grinding properly, and then there's grinding properly on a 1x30, which we briefly touched on last week, how difficult it is, how much easier it is with a 2x72, rather. Because some people are doing amazing work on those 1x30s, but
sure.
I think what we come up with in the end was those motors just aren't really up to it. You know, as soon as you put any sort of meat onto those belts, it's just going to start seizing up, and it's not going to do the best job. But tips generally on learning how to grind properly. Blasphemy here, but I mean, I still use one. I still use a tool rest. I brace myself and use a tool rest. A lot of people say, "Oh, maybe you shouldn't." Occasionally, I'll use jigs as well. Use whatever you need to use. But yeah, I mean, you're doing the right thing. You've got a bunch of beaten knives, and you know you're trying to find the angle, and you're doing what you should be doing. And it's just time, and I think just practice. But yeah, don't be afraid to use the two rests or jigs or whatever you need to get the job done.
And do you have any resources you'd suggest?
No, not really. There's plenty of YouTube videos out there. You mentioned Nick Rossi earlier. He's got some amazing videos there on
his website. Yeah, he's teaching. He's doing classes. He's got like classes that are awesome, totally awesome. I think he's got one on grinding. So. Mm.
But yeah, I think it's one of those things you just need to get the feel for. As much as you can look at videos, until you actually try it yourself and get that feeling, it's never going to really work. So, you know, you're doing the right thing. Get loads of beaten knives and just keep working through them. And, you know, you'll get this muscle memory and it'll all just come to you slowly. And you'll look back and go, Jesus, what I did, you know, a month ago, I thought this was good. It's so much better now.
You want to talk blasphemy. If I had the choice between using a 1x30 anything else, I think I'm going to use a right angle grinder. I don't know why. Why not? Why not? Because, I mean, you're probably, as a fabricator, we use right angle grinders all the time. Mm. Not with a rock on it, with like a disc. Yeah, and not a flap disc. Everyone's using a flap disc. Flap discs are good at the end, but they ain't good for like cutting the shit in.
Yeah.
I think we should do like the right angle grinder challenge. I mean, I hate to do a challenge.
It's going to be fingers off, eyes taken out.
Way.
It's going to be terrible.
Listen, here's the thing. I think I even once saw this. Aaron Goff did a knife jig. You remember his knife jig where it was Aaron? Aaron, yeah. Where he had like an eye bolt and then he had a, file and it was clamped to the bar and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I bet you that you could make that same jig and then use a threaded rod that fits the side of your wrangle grinder, you know, and then make a jig. I bet you could make beautiful. I'm sure there are plenty of people who are cutting in bevels with a right angle grinder. I don't know why. I think that we've come to the conclusion that this is the way to do it. 2x72 grinders are great because, number one, you have a ton of belt. Yeah. You have a lot of belt. You have 6 feet of belt. You get 6 feet of belt, and then it's get plus 2 inches. You get a lot of abrasive, and your motor's really hard and fast, and you got the ball bearings, and you got everything going on.
Nice wide platen, so you got a nice wide surface to do it once. Yeah.
Who's to say that's the only way to grind bevels? You know, I bet you there's tons of people out there who aren't on the internet or don't listen to podcasts or aren't told the way you're supposed to do it, and they're knocking out some beauties with a right angle grinder.
I always think
I use a right angle grinder all the time. I use the wire brush all the time. I love the wire brush. If I had the choice, if you said to me what would be the cheapest way to cut in the bevels, I'm using a right angle grinder, believe it or not.
Wow.
I can't believe it. Yeah. I'm back on the right angle grinder community. Why not? You could fit. You could make a jig with a right angle grinder.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. I'm sure you could. I think I'd stick with a 1x30 personally.
I bet you cut in those. I bet you cut in the right angle. I bet you cut in bevels with a right angle grinder so fast, make your head spin. You're not dealing with a little. Those 1x30 belts are for like flossing your teeth. There's not much there, you know.
But how are you going to handle the transition between where the bevel stops? How are you going to do that?
What do you mean? What do you mean, where?
Well, you're not
on a chef's knife or like a plunge line?
Well, like a plunge line, I suppose, yeah.
Put it in a file guide.
Jesus.
Why not? Fortune favors the brave. You need I told Will Seltzer, a little peril in your life's not so bad. If you did, you got beater knives anyway,
everywhere.
Who cares?
Sparks everywhere. Cutting through your file guides.
This is the reason why you haven't worked in a metal shop. You got to learn how to shoot the sparks. Can't be just you're a rooster tailing it all over the place and burn the whole joint down.
Well, I mean, the one advantage of using a 1x30 is you have to go slow. You're never going to take lots of material off, you know, per sort of swipe. So you have to go slow, and that's a good way of getting your angles and setting your angles and that kind of thing. So it is, I think it is quite a good way of learning. And if you can do something good on a 1x30, you can do something amazing on a 2x72.
Yeah, but you're going so fast that 40-foot that right angle grinder, man. You're ripping through that shit. You're fucking, all of a sudden, you're just like, what the fuck was I doing?
I expect to see something from you this week, Jeff.
Oh, I don't have enough to do? I got an assignment? I thought about it a while ago. I said, you know, someone's got to come. I bet one of these rough and tumble YouTube, up and coming YouTubists who want to be famous could come up with a tutorial on how to grind a bevel with two grinding discs. And then, obviously you're going to need it's not going to work well with stainless, but I bet you knock out some fucking beautiful knives with carbon steel. There you go. Controversy.
Not for me. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, I would use a 45. I would use a right angle grinder over a 1x30 in a heartbeat. Be like, give me that fucking thing. Let's go, baby.
Crazy, man.
I'm crazy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What dilemmas do we have this week?
Oh, you boy. Dilemmas. And don't forget, we got unsolicited. I asked for unsolicited advice. We got a pile.
Okay.
So the first tough scenario. So guys, if you're listening to this podcast, you're thinking, I want to contribute to the show because this is a give and take situation. Go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. Give us a follow. You can reach out to the show. You can send me weird news there too. Like if you got some weird fucking story, I mean, some of you guys send me some too horny, but at the same time, it's fine. Tough scenario. So Tyler Moore says, here's a dilemma. Here's a new dilemma for me. A customer commissioned a stainless steel Damascus chef's knife, selected very expensive material. I'm excited. All for it. Then the dude tells me he wants a textured EDC type handle in black G10. Smiley face, laughy face. And then the teeth face. What's the teeth face? You know when your eyes are open and then it's like you're gritting your teeth like, yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
So he's like, I got to do this. He's going to do one of them. Have you ever made one of those EDC style handles where they're bumping it on the contact wheel?
No. I know what you mean, but it's like chunks taken out of it kind of thing. Yeah. With G10 as well. Oh, I think the thing is, if you're taking orders, it sounds terrible, taking orders, but you literally are taking orders from a customer saying exactly what they want. I suppose that's what you do. You make the customer happy, I suppose. It does seem a real shame, because you're gonna want probably some beautiful burl or something on there, but if you just want some rough G10 with chunks taken out of it. That's what's paying the bills, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
Look, people think they know what they like. I've made knives that I'm just... Anytime I get an order for a Damascus full-tang knife, I always say to them, look, you're paying more for material that's being hidden, I explain it all, and that's what they want. And I'm like, okay, no problem. It's a little bit more work, but I'm like, all right, this is what you want. I'm with you, and look, just bump it with the, get yourself a Tootsie Roll on the end of that Dremel and bump, 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 and then there you go.
Yeah. I suppose the other thing is, to go back to the customer and say, well, okay, it all sounds great, but, have you seen these? Look how beautiful this looks and that kind of thing. Maybe try and sway them if that's what you want to do, but... it's your time, but you could well be just wasting time if they're set on what they want. That's what they want, I'm afraid. Not everybody has taste.
There are specific people who go to restaurants who like to change the menu.
Yeah.
There, I don't know if you know any of them. I know a few people who are just like, can I have this off of this plate and that off of that plate? And they're just like, they feel the need to have a degree of control.
Yeah. It's like they're claiming a bit of glory. In whatever success that they'll have. It's like, well, I did that bit. That was my idea. That kind of thing. It's like, oh, really?
I mean, I can understand it. Like, if you instead of, like, sometimes, like, I've been to places where, like, they have an appetizer that's just so great that I just get two of those appetizers. But at the same time, it's just like, if you don't want to do it, you can say to them, like, I got a better idea. Listen. And then give an explanation why. You know, it sounds like it's, you know, if you're not into it, you know, you can, you know, I think that they also, people also like when you have your sense of opinion and taste. So,
yeah. And that's another thing to think of. They're coming to you as the expert. So, you know, by trying to sway them, I think maybe that's even part of your job as well as the expert, you know? I don't know.
Okay. This one comes from our friend Nice Handmade Knives. Nice. He gave us a bit a while ago that I loved. I don't remember what it was, but he did a great job. Dilemma/question. It's a long one. I apologize. You have a customer that has bought a knife off your newsletter that is yellow. They order a custom, and the only feedback they give you on the handle is yellow, is, quote, yellow to be discussed. Yet after sending a few emails with no response, they purchase another newsletter knife that's also yellow, although completely different from the custom request, and the first knife. Do you proceed or just make the custom however you want using yellow, or hold off until you hear back from them? They're not on social media, and the only contact they have with you is their email, which they have not responded to, nor have they responded to a note in the package on the second knife to reach out to discuss the further custom. So let's just back it up. Oh, yeah. Customer buys a knife off the newsletter and says, I want it to be yellow. Then buys another knife from him that's already yellow. Then it's just he's confused on what this customer wants. Customer's not reaching back. Do I make the knife or do I wait for this guy? What do I do? Does it make sense?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, if you're asking them a question, they want a custom knife, and you ask them the question, they're not responding. I'd hold off. I'd maybe, you know, send a couple of emails and wait till they get back to you, because, you know, you'd want to be going through all the time and expense of making a knife if it's not right. This is, you know, if it's a custom knife, it needs to be to their sort of specs. So, yeah, it's a bit of a strange one, that, isn't it? But I'd probably hold off personally. You know, send an email, you know, one a week, you know, for a few weeks, and I'm sure they'll get back to you eventually. But, yeah, that is a weird one.
Sometimes people suck at getting back to you. And that's just the way it is. What I would do would be like send a couple of emails and see if you can find their telephone number. You want to rattle someone's cage, call them up. I've called people up who have not responded to emails, and they're always surprised. And it's always just, hey, this is Jeff Fader. And I have a move. When I worked for Charlie Palmer, when he would call, he would be very, his opening lines would be very, you know, it wasn't just like, hi, it's Charlie. I'd be like, hey, it's Charlie. What's going on? And it was always very much along the lines of like, would like almost wake you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like you put you out on there. So I started to do that all the time. And I even did it to Charlie a couple times, and it took him back a little bit. Hey, Charlie, it's Fader. What's going on? You know, and you did it like that. And
oh, I'm in trouble. Fuck.
You'd be surprised at how all of a sudden they kind of straighten up. So there are times where I'll call up and I'll say to them, hey, this is Jeff Fader from Fader Knives. Is this a bad time? And then usually you'll get a good, fast response. So my suggestion would be to get them on the phone. I hate it when things are confusing, because customers, some guys are buying multiple chef knives for a lot of money, even if it's not a lot of money. They're not too worried about things, you know? Mm. I think you could call this guy up and say, let's just clear the air and figure out exactly what I want to get you what you want.
Exactly.
Or
yeah.
Email him, say, I want to make sure I get you exactly what you want, so let's just figure this out.
Yeah. And if they're not responding, you know, your next email says, look, you know, I'm ready to make your knife. All I need from you is this. And, you know,
I'm waiting on you.
Exactly.
If I'm waiting on you,
back in their court, yeah.
Back in their court, and then all of a sudden, I'm waiting on you. You know, yeah. But don't say it like, I'm waiting on you, like Karen or something like that. You got to do it more along the lines of, like, you got to be cool. You got to be like, I'm ready to go, just waiting to hear back from you.
Exactly. You know, that's all you need to do, yeah.
That's the move.
Solving problems. Look at us.
Well, you know, I mean, this is Knife Talk Podcast, number one knife-related podcast on this germ-infested planet, period. End of sentence, you know? So we do have a lot of unsolicited advice. We do have community showcase. We have weird news. We save for later. But what's up to you?
Let's do some unsolicited advice. I can't even say unsolicited
that's
advice. Yeah,
it's tough. speaking of which, I have not been drinking at all. And I'm not saying that you are, but I mean,
I haven't today either. No, I'm.
I have a guy. My wife got me tickets to see the Yankees for Father's Day next week, and it just happens to be I'm having my physical and blood test the Friday. So all I wanted was to go to Yankee Stadium and have a glizzy and a beer, and I can't even have a glizzy and a beer.
What's a glizzy?
Oh, you don't know about a glizzy? So glizzies, I love youth culture. So glizzy used to be, I guess it was slang for a penis. And then...
So you're hoping for a penis this weekend.
Well, I mean, it's also slang for a hot... So people started calling hot dogs glizzies.
Okay.
They also call guns glizzies. So like a gun, a penis, and a hot dog is called a glizzy.
Okay.
So now in the house, they talk, you know, you hear people talk about glizzies all the time. So my kid, you know, says to, you know, Hillary says, she's very excited about going to this game. And my kid says, yeah, dad can't have a glizzy though. And she knows that it means penis.
Yeah.
So she's always, every 5 minutes, she's just like, yeah, dad wants a glizzy. So because, you know, I have one glizzy and then all of a sudden my cholesterol is going to be, you know, I can't have a glizzy right before the blood test. They're going to put me in the, you know, but I got to look good. So I can't have a beer and I can't have a fucking glizzy for the next
Jesus
2 weeks.
Jesus Christ.
That's fine. I lost a lot of weight, so I got. But I have to show up at the doctor. The doctor gave me Fritz last time. I'm gonna come in there screaming and apologize to me. So
yeah, something to prove. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Spite is the best. If you don't work on spite, you're missing an opportunity. I'm fucking going. I'm having a spite doctor's appointment. All right, so here's unsolicited advice. So if you want to reach out, and unsolicited advice, I like unsolicited advice when it's like, you know what you should do? Craig should make a guitar. I like that shit.
Yeah. It's like, and we used to get a lot of these before we made a point of it being in the show, where people would just say, you know what you should do? You should make a knife that does so-and-so. And it's just like, okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. You know what you should do? You should do this and the other thing. So, yeah, it's obnoxious. So if you want to send some unsolicited, it's usually unsolicited advice or you know what you should do. So this one first comes from Mike Poor. Mike Poor says, if a hot chick starts following you on Instagram, block that motherfucker. Not today, Putin. Not today. So all us knife makers, we know that the only women to follow us are like spam bots.
Yeah, there's Chinese spam bots. Yeah.
We're not like, you know, we're not, you know, whatchamacallit, Chalamet. I don't give a shit about it.
I get a lot of WhatsApp messages saying, oh, hi, you're in my contacts. Do I know you? And you look and there's this beautiful, you know, fake picture. And it's just like, what does this do? You know, are people replying saying, no, but I think you're beautiful. Should we start? You know, what? I don't see why they do it.
This is the bottom feeder scam shit. I mean, now the whole thing is I'm getting these messages. Hey, I need your help, and it's not about money. Do you get those?
Straight in that. No, I don't.
There's a lot of those. It's just like, hey, I really need your help, and it's not about money. Is the new like?
Oh wow.
You know, way to get your, you know, authorization, get your shit stolen away. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
not today, Putin. Lorian Blade says, I know you didn't ask. I think the arrows on the belts are for your own use. So you can orient the belts the same way each time as the abrasive wears from being run in one direction. I'm totally talking out of my ass. I'm totally talking out of my ass. But you're probably used to that by now. So you once talked to some, because I know that I've been to places where that when they're talking about the arrows on the belts, they say the arrow should go forward. But you did some research on that, right?
Yes, and basically what this guy is saying, it's just for your own sort of, you know, your own thing, so you know which way you've been running the belts. Because, you know, we've talked in the past as well, if you then spin it around and run the belt the other way, you sometimes get an extra bit of life out of them as well. But yeah, I can't remember who I spoke to, who it was.
You spoke to a knife guy, and I thought that was, you spoke to an abrasives company, and I thought that they said that it was so, because when they make the abrasives, they're not just making, you know, combat doesn't just make 2x72. They get huge rolls, and they cut them to shape.
Yeah, it was I thought it was a previous sponsor. That's why I'm being so vague about
it. Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, basically they said that it makes no, if you run it the other way, it makes no real difference. But what you'd want to do is, you know, keep chopping and changing because you'll slightly maybe stretch the belt or, you know, the tape may loosen or whatever reason. I can't remember where it was. But yeah, if you run it the other way, I don't think it makes any real difference.
No. I like you said, I get a lot extra out of it when I flip the other way because then it's not cutting. It's cutting a little bit different. Yeah, I thought it was from the way that they, how they meet up, something like that.
On the seam.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
For the manufacturer of the belts or something like that, but who knows. Feral Boy Knife says, hey, you know what you should do? Put a knife within a knife. Knifeception.
You know, I've seen them, really cheap chef knives. You see the set, like skeleton knives, you know, and where the gap is, another one fits. So you get like five knives and like a bloody like a Russian doll. Yeah, really cheap shit, you know. But,
yeah, I have seen those too. It's hilarious.
Great for food release.
Speaking of weird ideas, I'm surprised that like a camp knife company hasn't figured out to make the sheath a cutting board. You know, like a little cutting board for, like, why not have your, if you have like a small kitchen, here you go, guys, get your billion idea. You can take this idea of just call, say I'm with you. You have to give me a little credit. You don't have to give me, you didn't do anything. But if, what if the knife block was your cutting board? How come no one's figured that one out yet?
Yeah.
Have they?
Especially if it was like a chopper, you know, with a big sort of rectangular thing. And that would work.
Or just even like your knife block is the cutting board. I mean, it would probably be expensive to replace, but that'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? No?
No. No.
What if you 3D printed it? 3D, I don't know. I figured, you know, if you go on a camping trip, I know it would be great to have, if you have one of the Onas from our friend Quentin Middleton, that's great. But what if you had like your camping knife sheath was a cutting board?
Yeah, I can see it working for a chopper, but
you don't like it.
No, not really.
You don't like that idea at all.
No, not back in that one. No.
All right, well, fine. Somebody's going to. I'm sure of it. Jake Norris says, "Hey, you know what you should do? Use knife talkisms to influence your color lab names." Pigeon Heart, Skipper Dude, Cheeky Finger, etc. we had some good ones. We had some good little wordos.
Better call it a knife the Cheeky Finger. No, I don't think so.
Yeah, Skipper Dude isn't. Skipper Dude is not going to make the cut. Naming sculpture was to me very important because I spent a little time with this glass blower. His name is Stephen Rolf Powell, and I might have even mentioned him, and my roommate Miles and I went to go visit him, and he was blowing glass, and he named his sculptural glass blowing pieces. Every name was very important. It was a 3-word name. So the first word was describe the size. The second word described the feeling, and the third word was a last name. So it would be like Big Bulbous Jones, or like, you know, Large Green Smith. Yeah. But it was like far more clever than that. And all of a sudden I was just like, you know what? I like that. So for me, naming was very important. So who gives a shit what I have to say? Forged Allard says, hello, brown baggers. You know what you should do if you're a, quote, knife maker from Pakistan? Don't target knife makers that sell your knife.
Yeah.
They're the last person on earth that want to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm getting emails from them now as well. Like, hey, if you want to produce knives, we can get these for you. You know, 1,000 of these for, you know, 50 pence or whatever. And you just think, geez, how would they even got my email, you know? But it's a strange ploy to, you know, marketing ploy to target knife makers with your shitty knives.
They don't know. I think that they believe that maybe you're like a distributor. And that you
possibly.
Would, you know, and they're just, I mean... I think most of these scammers or whatever, I don't even know if they're scammers or not. They're just like bottom feeders, probably don't get a lot of money, and you know, they're just, you know, like cold calling people, you know, and they're just like hoping that they get that one response who's just like, oh, I'm ready to buy.
Yeah, and they're probably just buying lists of email addresses. They're not like looking at any of these companies to see what they do. They just throw enough shit and see what sticks, I suppose.
Yeah, of course. Plumley Knives says, I know you didn't ask, but this is a, you know what you should do. I don't know if I said this is a, you know what you should do, but more post Blade Show advice for newbies. I just came back from my first Blade Show in Atlanta. Before I went, I was following all these people who were attending and looking forward to talking. I was looking forward to talking to them. Once I was at the show and making my way around from table to table, I was surprised at how hard it was to get a conversation started with some of these makers, even though they're very outspoken on their Instagrams. At the end of the show, I noticed that if I asked enough questions to them, not berating them, they would start to open up and feel more comfortable with the conversations and give really awesome advice afterwards. So to say that my advice is for Blade Show is have some icebreaker questions ready for the makers that you're wanting to talk and learn from. Thanks for the read last week. I'm with you guys. I would think that knife makers in general are solitary people.
Yeah.
When
I
you're
think
doing
so. Yeah.
Instagram, it's kind of like it's like you're talking to a mirror. Like, you don't really, you get messages back and DMs back and stuff like that. But you're not having, a personal interaction. Mm-hmm. So these guys, if they're spending all this time in their shops and they're alone all the time or whatever, or they're just not very social, and they get involved with this, community. From what I understand, I was listening to Brian's podcast, Work For It, and it was, overwhelming. They were, it was amazing, and they all couldn't walk 5 feet without talking to someone, and it was really overwhelming and amazing. If you're generally probably a introvert, you probably get overwhelmed by people asking a million questions.
Yeah.
So,
and from what I've never been to Blade, from what I gather, it's a big old place. So you may be the thousandth person that tried to start a conversation with them that day. You know, they're dying for a piss, they need a sandwich, and they're just please. It's got to be difficult. I think I'd struggle in that environment, starting conversations with people. But it's going to be one of those. I'd imagine it's tiring as hell. A couple of days there, I'd imagine meeting all these people and, as you said, all the small talk and all the rest of it. It's going to be tiring as hell.
A poor Brian Cohen and his tootsies hurt afterwards. He said walking too hard, his feet hurt. His feet were walking too hard.
I can recommend some shoes for you, Brian. They're amazing.
Do not buy Craig's horrendous. I hope you wear those shoes to your recording session. That would be awesome. These are like nursing shoes. These are the worst. These grinding shoes are the worst. You should definitely wear that.
I think I'm on my third or fourth pair now. I love them. I love them.
Oh, God. Brian May. Go use Brian May's guitar, and then the next thing you know, you're wearing them fucking orthopedics or whatever the fuck they're called.
One is 6 inches higher than the other.
Skipper dues. The Canton Cutler says, get a sandblaster. 1,001 applications, and you can't go without it. I got a couple more. You tell me.
I want to tell everybody first about Dharmasteel. We talked earlier about some high class Damascus, which was stainless, and I'm thinking that's probably Dharmasteel. Dharmasteel.se. They make beautiful, beautiful stuff. They've got a whole range of patterns. You sort of buy by the inch. It's beautiful, beautiful stuff. So if you want to level up and work with some stainless Damascus, Dharmasteel.se is the place to go. They've got Dharmasteel Lab on Instagram as well, and they put some amazing stuff on there. So not just knives, there's jewelry, there's all sorts of stuff. So go take a look, Dharmasteel.se. If you register for an account there, when you place an order, if you use Knife Talk 10, you'll get 10% off too. There you go.
There's two... pardon me, I'm sorry.
Sorry, so I was going to say, if you're going to use a premium steel, you're going to want a premium grinder as well, aren't you, Jeff?
Oh, the Broadbeck Ironworks 2x72 grinder is the one. I love mine, and it's super, super duper versatile. I love using it vertically, horizontally. I love, love, love the Mareko Platin, and I'll tell you why. Not just because it's got Mareko's name on it, but because it's got a deep throat, and then the bottom wheel, I believe that I get more torque. I get more torque because the bottom wheel is bigger. I don't know what it is, and the platen's a little bit smaller, but it's just a dynamite platen. And if you go to BroadbeckIronworks.com, and I don't know which I don't know if they're still doing what. The thing is they do so many promos especially during holidays, yeah. that you got to be following them. You have to be following Broadback Ironworks because they have special deals all the time. Right now, I'm under the impression that if you put in the promo code Knife Talk, you get the upgrade to the Mareko Platin, which is my favorite of all the flat platins. Definitely go to BroadbackIronworks.com and follow them on Instagram because, like I said, yeah. they might have 4th of July is coming up. You know, that might be your move. They might have a deal going on then. Who knows? But they're very, very active. Very active.
Yeah. And they're very sort of in with the community as well. So if there's something specific that you want, like with regards to a sort of package deal, just send them a message and they'll make a package up for you. And they'll throw a few dollars off you. I'm sure they would as well if you say you listen to the show.
And Ben Seacrest is involved. He's involved with them. Forge and Fire champion. They're all Forge and Fire guys. Ben Seacrest listens every morning. First thing, I'm sending my highest regards. I'm saluting old Ben Seacrest. Fiery Ice Forge.
There we go.
I have two more that I want to use to put in our next call to action for the listeners.
Okay.
Jake Norris says, you know what you should do? Bring back some hot takes. So we're going to bring back some hot takes. I'm just messing around. I had to get that off my chest. But his hot take is, this is going to be, don't get mad at me for saying this, guys. And don't get mad. You can get mad at, don't get mad at anybody. Just have a sense of humor, everybody. QMI is the epoxy river table of knife making. That's a fucking hot take right there, man.
I don't know what QMI is, but I know
QMI
what the epoxy
is. The copper. It's the, I believe.
Oh, that's, yeah.
It's sand mine, and there's a copper liner in there.
Got you, yeah. Yeah,
so
it's the epoxy river. Okay.
Well, the river table, the epoxy river. You know, the river table.
If I
you
know talk the ones,
to
yeah.
those, you talk to a woodworker about epoxy river table. Oh boy, they get a little hot under the collar. Hot in the collar.
At any one point, there's about 10,000 videos being uploaded to Instagram of somebody pouring that epoxy.
Well, it's the same thing. You know, that's the same thing. Knife making, and there are all these little crafts that people. You know, you show a video and then you think to yourself, that's really cool. I could do that. And then you do it. And then all of a sudden it's like, obviously, maybe you can make a couple bucks. Maybe you figured it out. Maybe it looks great. Maybe somebody else wants it. And then all of a sudden it's just like, you know, all over the place. Yeah, so, yeah. But I mean, you talk to them, right? Knife man, boy, they don't like woodworker. They don't like an epoxy table. And apparently the guy who created it is furious. The guy who first started it is furious that the market is flooded with these goddamn tables.
Really?
Oh, wow. Furious! Yeah. I think he wanted to, and I might be wrong, but I think he wanted to trademark the concept. And I mean, what is he, Cold Steel? You can't just trademark concepts, can you?
Yeah.
And then Benny's Tool and Cutlery says, "Here's a hot take." So here's what a hot take is, ladies and gentlemen. It's basically it's a proclamation, and generally. It's like a hot take. It's controversial, spicy, and it's forceful. But please, don't send us all the penis ones. Like, I get a lot of porny ones, and I'm just like, I really don't want to talk to Mareko and Craig and talk all the porny stuff. I mean, we talk about the guy with the dick on his arm, but I mean, that was funny. And that was real legitimate news. It wasn't just like, I wasn't just like making the story up.
Legitimate news.
Legitimate news.
People needed to know.
That was from a legit
public service.
My favorite thing to do now is find outrageous news and read it normally, not feeling like I should be judged because it's from the news. I'm reporting what the news said. So I can read something that's completely outrageous, and it isn't. I didn't come up with it. These guys didn't. They're a news source. So here's your hot take from Benny's Tool and Cutlery. Serbian cleavers are the CrossFit of knives. Nothing says I'm a latte sipping Melbournean like a Serbian cleaver. I love a hot take, especially when it's kind of like a haiku. It should be a little bit poetic. You know, we once said that those hybrid handles is the CrossFit of knife making. I love these when you guys get a little bit creative. I don't like it when you, sometimes we would get hot takes where you're criticizing another maker. We don't want to do that. But if you want to do a little ball breaking in the knife making community, I support it. So next week, I want you to get your hot takes, guys.
But be thoughtful. Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram.
Be thoughtful. So there you go.
Okay. Okay. We've got a bunch of community showcases here in the notes. Should we just rattle through them all?
Yeah, really let's quickly? Do it. Or save a couple from Record Comes Back.
Yeah,
whatever
okay,
you want.
Okay, okay. First one is from Griff, and I think he sent a couple last week as well. Community showcase. This is a bit different, actually. So it's DC_custom_knives. Dan passed away last year. He's an incredibly talented and resourceful knife maker whose blog helped many new knife makers all over the world. Thankfully, his Instagram is still up, and so is the blog, and the blog is a wealth of information and resources. So though Dan is no longer with us, I encourage those listening to the podcast to check out the blog. To name the least, there's an extensive PDF library of downloadable knife profile designs, which many new knife makers listening to the show have inquired about in the past. You can find it at dcknives.blogspot.com. That's a good one, Griff. I've looked at that. There's some good stuff there.
I think you talked... Wasn't you someone who inspired you?
We'd spoken in the past a few times and that kind of thing. Yeah. It was very sad, obviously, when he passed last year. But his stuff is still online, so you can take a look. dcknives.blogspot.com.
Donnie Dulovich says, I think the arrows on your belts are for your own use, so you can orient the belts the same way each time as the abrasive wears from one from the other. I'm totally talking out of my ass, but you're used to that. You know what? Fuck it. I wrote the wrong one. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Donnie Dulovich, we're with you. Cayman Knives' community showcase is Adonis_Forge_Arts. Ben Cayman rules. That guy's knives blow my doors off. If you know Ben Cayman?
No, I don't. I'm going to look now.
Oh, my God. How do you
not look now?
Are you out of your mind? This is the most shocking
really
thing of all time.
I use Instagram now, so let's have a look.
Kamon. He makes these. I'm going to say, Ben listens to the podcast with a full blast. Ben, I chat to Ben every so often. He's Austrian, and I want him to come on, but he's afraid of his English. I don't give a shit. I want him on. He does these knives that have incredible transitions and textures. He has forged top sections of the beautiful forge. He has these beautiful transitions into S grinds. But what he does that's unbelievable is he mills out the bolster and the butt cap, and he machines them in so there are these pocket grooves. And he is one of my favorites of all time. Cayman Knives, Ben Cayman.
Beautiful photography as well.
Oh, dude, Ben's a monster. He's a monster.
Yeah, Cayman_Knives. That's Cayman with a K. Kamon.
But his community showcase was Adonis_Forge_Arts, who's also a monster.
There we go. So, two for one there.
Two for one.
Benny's Tool and Cutlery. Hey, Cuties. Community showcase is Brendan_Atkinson_Knives. What's with all these underscores? Brendan_Atkinson_Knives. He makes some high-end Bowies, and his leather work is just as good.
Collage Forge says, for the Maker Showcase, @100_Knives makes amazing work. Also varied.
Craig A. Sylvester says, check out Ely Knives. So it's Elee Knives on Instagram. So these are great, actually. So if you're just getting into sort of knife making and you're looking for inspiration, these are probably, these have been recommended by other knife makers. So it's probably a good place to look.
Let's do the last two. John Robison says, hey, I want to give a spotlight on Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N, my bad, Bowman Made Knives, B-O-M-A-N. MADEKNIVES, Bowman Made Knives. He's an awesome maker and a really helpful guy. He's helped me, and I know he's helped other makers, so I think he needs a shout out. It's awesome that you guys are bringing back the community showcase. Thanks to Sack Knives for giving us the suggestion.
That's nice.
This last
I just had a brief
you.
Look at the next one.
You should read
fucking
it.
Fucking Kyle.
Kyle Heath.
Hi, Keith. I'd like to give a shout out to a young, at least fucking wrong there to start with, up and coming maker. He just started blacksmithing classes and is ready to take the next step forging. I couldn't be more excited to follow his journey. Get on his books fast. I'm still waiting for a bottle opener. His handle is Chop Knives. So Kyle's had this thing where he's got a bottle opener from Jeff and from Mareko. And he's looking for the trifecta. He's looking for a bottle opener for me. But I don't make them. I'm going to have to one day just to stop Kyle Dude, doing this kind of shit.
Kyle sends me messages. What is it going to take to get Craig to make me a bottle opener? I'm like, you're going to have to browbeat him, I guess. You should. I'm surprised you haven't done one with even, you could do one without forging. You know, all
yeah,
you need
no,
is.
No, I could. No, yeah, I could.
I'll tell
yeah,
you, if you, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you how easy it is. All you need is really, I mean, the spacing between the tab and the bar should be about 5/8 of an inch. Yeah.
Well, I mean, so, I do a bottle opener on my camp knives. So, Kyle, you could always buy a camp knife, you know, if that's what you're into. Oh, yeah. If you're that desperate for a bottle opener. I will make you one.
Just pop a 5/8 hole into a thing and then with a little ball peen hammers, knock a little tab in.
I've got 3 kids under 3, a dog. I've got 8 inches of evil here, which is what I now call the cat.
8 inches of evil.
Oh,
wow.
He's
the worst
thing.
Boy's got a big old dick.
And a burgeoning rock and roll career. You know?
I know.
It's time is my problem.
Oh, yeah. I could make the thing for you if you wanted.
And just put my name on it. No,
right.
No, Kyle, I'll make you one. Sit tight. Sit tight.
There you go.
Okay. Shall we call that a day?
Let's do it.
Okay. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. We really appreciate your feedback and the questions that you send in, because without you guys, we wouldn't have a show. Bye for now. Okay, here we go. We're done.
Wow.
Welcome, everybody, to the after show.
Yep.
Take off your slippers. Pour yourself a drink.
Pour yourself
and
a
relax.
Drink. Relax.
There we go. So what's been going on? What are you into? What are you watching? What's happening?
What am I into? I'm into getting some sleep. I actually just got a message from someone I have to deal with that I'm not too thrilled about, but at the same time, it's one of the... They said I've got the sculpture done. I thought it was going to be something that was going to be easy. Well, it's certainly not easy. So life has a way of making things not downhill. And it seems to be... I mean, I'm on an uphill trend right now in terms of like extra work and stress and something.
Yeah.
So I haven't been watching anything. I know that there's a lot of TV shows to watch and stuff like that, but I mean, like, I'm literally like, I do work, sleep.
Take it easy. I mean, you're looking after your diet and stuff, so, you know, it's just as important that you rest too. So, you know, you've got to take it easy.
I mean, I get to sleep, but I collapse. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need time to relax. That's what you need.
Yeah.
What you need.
That's it.
I want to talk about the food that I was eating in London. So I got there, went straight to this Knebworth, which is, you know, a little bit outside of London. So, you know, shitty hotel, just, you know, crappy food. Come into London then straight after the gig, and that's obviously where the good food is. And I just ate and ate and ate. Because I was there when I got to London there, I was there on my own then because everybody'd gone back and I was just waiting for my flight back to France.
Right.
So, yeah, I could literally, you know, go where I wanted and eat where I wanted. Obviously, street food is, you know, for years and years has been a big thing. But in London at the moment, they've got all these old, like, huge buildings. And what they do, they'll put, like, a bunch of street food vendors in there. And they put all the tables in the middle. So, you know, you just go and there's, like, craft beer places there as well. Everybody gets their food, whatever you want, you know, different stuff. And you all sit down on these big benches kind of thing. Oh, my God. Some of the food was just incredible. But the best thing that I ate while I was there, because I knew that was coming, what's the best thing?
The best thing you ate was, I know what the best thing you ate was. It had to have been fish and chips.
I had fish and chips twice.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Within 3 days.
Oh, my God.
What on the Sunday, there was a huge football match for Wales, because Wales haven't been in a World Cup for fucking decades and decades, and they're playing the Ukraine of all people, and if we beat the Ukraine we go to the World Cup, so, you know, kick a team when they're down kind of thing. But so I went to the pub to watch that game, and I had fish and chips in the pub because, you know, the game's on and so on. We won, great, amazing. Get back to my hotel now, and my hotel was like right in the middle of Soho, so that kind of, you know, do you know that, you know, that fear of missing out, you like, I'm in my hotel room, but like all of life is literally just outside
my door, sure.
You know? So I'm there, and my belly's full. I just text my wife, and I said, there's a Wingman's, which is, I think they've got like 3 or 4 restaurants in London. And if you know, if you Google, like, you know, best chicken wings, for example, in London, everybody say Wingman's is the place to go. And there's one literally just 3 or 4 doors down from where I was. So I'm in the hotel room, top button undone on my jeans because I've eaten so much already. And I'm like, I can't go home without not having these.
Of course.
So she's like, just go and get, you regret it, just go and get them. Ugh. So, you know, I'm like, oh, waddling down the road.
Your wife is such an enabler. Go ahead.
Oh, completely, yeah. Yeah, she's a feeder. So I got these, classic sort of buffalo wings, but also these belly pork squares with like a mushroom powder on top. Oh my, I mean, the chicken was good, you know, the type of chicken, it come with gloves, you know, it was hot stuff. It was lovely. Right. I loved it. It was really good. But the belly pork squares were the one. Oh, so they compress them. So they cook them over 2 days. They put a weight on them so they're compressed. Then they got this mushroom powder they put onto. Oh, my fuck. Oh, even though I was full and I couldn't move, this was the best thing. It was
Jesus
amazing.
Christmas.
Absolutely loved it. And listen, obviously, you. Finished the chicken wings then as well.
Jesus Christ. You really are. You really, some people eat to live and some people live to eat.
I become a complete, if I'm in a hotel on my own, I become the biggest glutton ever. I get literally as much food as I can, and I'm sitting there on the bed in my pants generally. Oh, and I've got all this food around me. It's
oh my God, I don't want to picture
it
that.
It is disgusting, but it's just, it doesn't happen often, you
right.
know. But oh yeah, it was amazing, absolutely amazing. So yeah, Wingman's, if you're in London, or you know, if you go into London for any reason, make sure you get to a Wingman's and have that belly pork. It's very special.
Oh God. I mean, it sounds great, but it's like, you know, I'm past the point of being like such a, I can't be such a foodie. Foodies are the worst. Mm. These people who are like, oh, you have to have the, you know, is it, well, what part of the pig belly was it? Was it a female pig or a male pig? What was the diet? Was it corn or was it like grass fed? And I can't get involved with that shit anymore.
I don't get too involved in like, you know, it needs to be a certain way, but I know what I like and right. I know what's good, you know, and this, oh, this was good stuff.
There you go.
What am I watching? Oh, so yeah, I spent a lot of time in hotels, so watching a fair bit of TV as well. And Pistol, which is the Sex Pistols sort of biopic.
Right.
That's just come on. Well, for us, it's Disney, but it's probably HBO for you guys. It's good. It's a little bit sort of cheesy. There's 6 episodes, and it's basically the story of the Sex Pistols. It's a little bit cheesy at times, but yeah, really, really enjoyed it. And the whole story of the Sex Pistols, they were in a place in London called Denmark Street, which is where Malcolm McLaren and Vivian Westwood's shop was called Sex. And that's where they rehearsed as well. So when I was in London, I was actually in Denmark Street too, because it's full of guitar, like vintage guitar shops.
Yeah.
So I was there as well. And then, you know, then I was going back to the hotel and I was watching this thing when it was filmed there. It was really cool. But yeah, it's very good. Very good. So if, you know, if you're into the Pistols, or even if you're not and you don't really know the story of the Pistols, Pistol is really, really good. Really
is
good.
Is that on Netflix?
No, it, like I said, for us it's Disney. I think it could
Hulu,
be HBO.
I think they say it's Hulu or something.
Yeah, maybe Hulu or HBO for you. But it's very, very good. Very good.
Look at you. I'm not watching shit. I'm just trying to follow. I follow the Yankees, but that's about it. Not very well.
Yeah.
So I have nothing to report.
Nothing to add.
Nothing to add at all.
And with that, I think that's a show then.
Right? There you go.
Thank you all. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back now. Hopefully, Mareko's with us again next week. But yeah, he is on his travels. Unless he's been eaten by a bear. I didn't get a response to any of the texts I've sent him, so I'm hoping he hasn't been eaten by a bear. But hopefully he'll be back with us next week. And
I think he was, last time I heard, he was with Josh Scott and the Artificery, and they were making some magic projects. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, it'll be good. Right. Thank you all for listening. Speak to you soon. Bye for now.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.